shirt on and your brown coat too. Everybody's joining the crew at the Geek Tank. At the Geek Tank, Rocky Mountain Geek Tank.
Hi, I'm Guy.
Hi, I'm Troy.
And this is Geek Tank Season 2.
Your podcast that will not be rated by the MPAA. Sized podcast.
So this is sort of the first of our censorship series.
Yeah, it started out we were just going to do one, and then we realized this covers
a lot of things.
More. So yeah. Instead of scattering too much within 30 minutes, we're going to do a few different episodes, and you won't know when it's going to happen. It'll be a surprise.
Yeah. First of all, I'd like to shout out to my sister. It's her birthday.
Oh, happy birthday, sister.
Yeah, there you go.
So. And we're at our comic book shop that we like to hang out with. Comic book and more shop.
And more. Mile High Comics, which is at First and Wadsworth.
I think it's considered Lakewood.
Yep, this is Lakewood. And we're recording here because they like us and we like them. And we actually went late enough in our recording time for them to be open. So. Mm-hmm.
And here we are. So today's topic, we're focusing on the MPAA.
Yep, the Motion Picture Association of America.
They're the folks who do the ratings for movies.
Right.
And this came up because my son, who's 11 years old, Nick, was looking at going to go see a movie. And we were looking at ones, and we have kind of a strict rule with PG-13 movies. It's not that he can't see any movies that are PG-13. It's the parents have to vet it first.
Right.
Which
in theory we should be doing anyway.
Oh, yeah. Because you just don't know.
You never know. But then it kind of goes down to if we're supposed to anyway, why bother?
Yeah, why bother rating it?
Why bother rating it?
Well, I guess if it's rated G, I know that I don't need to vet it.
Yeah, you don't need to vet it.
So it does a little work for me.
Yeah, but it's still, when we look at all these rating systems, and especially we've had this discussion before, you and I, there are things that I don't want my son to see that they will show in a G-rated movie. And then there are things that I don't care if my son sees.
I think you mean PG-13 or a PG movie.
Maybe a PG movie.
Not a G movie.
I don't know. I mean, like, I've always thought that. There's a number of things that I get a kick out of whenever we watch, like, especially Studio Ghibli. Mm-hmm. We've got a dear friend in Japan who was watching Ponyo with his daughter, and she was 6 at the time, same age as my son. And, she completely flipped out with the things in the ocean, the black things that were coming out of the ocean. And it completely scared her. She had nightmares. It was just this horrible thing. And, and it's so funny because I never know what's going to flip out my kid. I watched Totoro and thought, oh, Totoro's terrifying, him and his big teeth and everything like that. Nope, he loves Totoro. Totoro is the awesomest thing on the planet. And I was like, that would have terrified me as a kid.
Right, well, it's scary to some of my kids because of the big smile.
Yeah, the big smile. That's what I thought. It was like the big smile would freak out.
I remember...
But no, he loves that. A friend
on Facebook actually thought that the emotional scene went in Inside Out. Yep. Was way too powerful of an emotional scene for a kid and made kind of a comment offhand. I'd rather them watch Game of Thrones and see someone get beheaded than see this because that was way more traumatic. And although I disagree on that, which is one of the things that parents disagree on different things. So do you want your kid to be emotionally scarred or are they old enough to learn the moral of the story with that?
Right. And that's kind of one of the things that, like, I was watching Inside Out with my son. And about halfway through, he's like, I'm done. Mm-hmm. I don't want to watch any more of this. It's just too freaky. And he walked away. And it was, you know, sadness being all depressed. And I'm like, that's not even really that traumatic.
He didn't even make it to the
No, he made
bingo.
It to where they were over on the other side.
Well, I mean, where the imaginary friend sacrifices himself.
Yeah, no, he didn't make it to the sacrificing himself imaginary friend.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, spoiler alert. No, he didn't make it to that. I mean, the first time he watched it, he did. Mm-hmm. But the second time through, it was more like, I don't know if I want to get to that point. Because he liked, what is his name, Boingo Boingo or whatever his name
right.
was. He liked the character.
Boingo Boingo.
Boingo Boingo. Danny Elfman did the music for this secretly.
Under
an entirely different name. Danny Elfman somewhere going, what are these people saying about me?
By the way, that statement is an alternate fact statement.
Right, it's an alternate facts. It goes on the wall. It's another brick in the wall. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, It's one of those things where obviously every parent should be vetting for their kid, mm-hmm. because some kids are one way and some kids are a different way, and you never know what's going to freak out your kid. It terrified me to think that I was taking my son to see Rogue One without sight unseen, mm-hmm. which most parents would feel, wow, that's a little abrupt for a kid. You probably right. wouldn't take your twins who are the same age roughly as my son.
Yeah.
And yet again, he would have been very mad about missing a Star Wars. He's such a Star Wars geek.
Right.
That he would have been extraordinarily mad that he didn't get to go. And he wasn't affected by it at all. Nothing bothered him. And even you had warned me, there's a couple of scenes coming in here that you might want to watch right. out for him.
Because it's hard to tell how attached a kid's going to get to a character.
Right.
And when that character's removed from it permanently, how are they going to respond?
How are they going to respond? Didn't bother him. Mm-hmm. He sat there and just chewed on popcorn.
I mean, in fact, if you think about Finding Nemo, if they would have spent 10, 20 minutes developing the backstory for Nemo's mom and then had her eaten by the shark.
Nemo's mom.
By the way, warning, in the first 30 seconds, Nemo's mom gets eaten
by a shark.
And hundreds of his brothers and sisters.
While we're at it.
But if you had an emotional investment in that character and then that happened, then that would be traumatizing to a kid.
It would be.
And even not knowing any backstory, some kids were pretty traumatized by that.
Oh, yeah. So. Yeah. So it's one of those things that, I mean, obviously, for kids, you need to vet.
Right.
And we're good with that.
You need to know your kid. And as a parent, you're making the decision of what am I teaching them? And in the case with Nick, I was looking at one movie, Doctor Strange, and I have yet to see it and really want to see it. And it's one of those where I think it's going to be okay for him, but I don't know. And his friend that wants to go to the movies with him, who is 12, said, oh, Rings just came out. And for those of you who don't know, Rings is the sequel to The Ring and Ring 2, which is about a horror movie based on the Japanese movie Ringu. And I was thinking, that's not PG-13. It's a horror movie. And I looked it up, and sure enough, it's PG-13. And I'm like, I still don't think I want my kiddos, especially he's not 13 yet.
Right.
So,
well, and so that brings me to this next thing. First of all, I mean, just judging from the number of voters in the United States, people of voting age, kids are not the majority.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just logically speaking, you're only under 18 for 20% of your life at best, you know. So we're talking about 80% of the population having to cater to 20% of the population because parents aren't doing their job. And that's really what we're talking about. And I feel like as a parent, it's my job to know whether my kid can watch this thing or not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's my job. And that's part of my task as a parent. And I feel kind of aggravated that the adult in me that's now living in that 80% of my lifespan can't watch this or shouldn't watch that or, you know, and this goes into the other part of censorship that bothers me, which is I don't have a problem if my son sees nudity. That right. doesn't bother me at all. Human bodies are human bodies. There's nothing wrong with that. But I do have a problem if he sees a beheading.
Right.
That is an issue. But beheadings happen on TV. Nudity does mm-hmm. not. You know, I've said this before. There was a scene in
CSI
that I talk about all the time where they identify a prostitute by her breast implant. And so they do the CSI zoom through the boob. And of course, they had to like put an insane number of warnings, and you know, oh God, you know,
and they didn't do it until the commercial break beforehand. And so up until then, you have other CSIs too, where you have these gruesome crime scenes with no
right,
warning,
like the one where the kid gets run over by a taxi, and yeah. they're spending all of their time out there picking up his entrails all over mm-hmm. the road. And I'm like, okay, so that doesn't deserve a warning, but a boob, oh yep. my God. And I'm like. I don't want my son to see. Well, I wouldn't want my son to see CSI.
In that particular scene, it was also a dead person. So,
a dead person. I don't know. If
still
I'm
would
hot
have been good
that.
For a warning. Yeah. But we know that the warning didn't come because of that, because they had plenty of autopsies without warnings in the show.
Right.
It's the fact that this was a female autopsy that you were seeing without the clothes. Type
right.
thing. So.
And it's like, that's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
And a lot of this comes from a very stilted view of what is and is not appropriate being brought down by a cultural mor. So it's kind of one of those things that, I don't know. I mean, that's, is it appropriate for us to alter and change our media for a cultural mor set that isn't shared by everybody?
Right. And I think we'll get into more of that
in the next segment. So we'll be back right after this.
This is David Duncan from the Synthaholics Podcast, and you're listening to Geek Tank.
So we're talking about our mini-part series on censorship.
And we're focusing on this particular episode
on the MPAA.
And movies. So just for those who know.
And I totally went off on television, so let's get back to movies.
Yeah. So the MPAA rating is G, which is for general audiences, all ages admitted, nothing that would offend parents for viewing by children. And this is an overall view because, like we were saying, some G things do offend you. So yeah. It's more of the majority type thing. Then there's next step up is PG for parental guidance suggested. Some material may not be suitable for children. Parents urged to give parental guidance may contain some material parents might not like for their younger kids. So you're getting more in the majority. Like, more people now would say this isn't good for a kid than there were people saying the G stuff's not rated good for a kid.
Right.
PG-13, parents are strongly cautioned. And so this is where they're saying you should be age 13 to be able to mentally and emotionally handle what's on this content.
Right, right, right.
And then rated R, which is restricted under 17, requires accompaniment by a parent or an adult, which means you could still get in to see it, Deadpool.
Yeah.
Which a lot of parents took their kids to see, which was not a good idea. In my opinion, again, different parenting standards.
Kai's not going to see Deadpool for a long time.
And in fact, Ryan Reynolds, or as the character Deadpool, even made public service announcements of do not take your kids to see this.
Specifically said that.
Then there's NC-17, which is adults only. So even with a grown-up, a kid's not allowed into NC-17 films, which you don't see a lot of those. And the reasons, really, the reason you're getting more PG-13 films than R films is it opens up more money. And it's all about the money.
It's all about the money.
Del Toro. My brain's totally shutting down. The actor who did the director who did Hellboy.
Yeah.
You guys know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, everybody out there knows who. You can email us
and ask us if we ever figured it out.
Ask us if we ever figured it out.
But he was going. He was lined up to direct and write the Call of Cthulhu movie, Mountains of Madness.
Right.
And he said it's going to be R-rated, and they said no, you got to make it PG-13 rated. And he said no, to do this my way is going to be R-rated.
Yeah.
And since they would never give on it, he dropped the project.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the reason they were pushing for PG-13 is they wanted to open it up to more audiences to make money.
Yeah, but that's like, I mean, this is one of the reasons why it's nice to see Deadpool succeed.
Yes.
Because it was an R-rated movie.
And, R-rated superhero comic book movie.
Right. It was an R-rated superhero comic book movie, which almost sounds like supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
It's Guillermo del Toro. Guillermo. The Italian, I think, or French.
But
Mexican, sorry.
So anyway. One of the things that is concerning about this is that, yeah, they want to open it up so that, you know, the widest audience all the way across the board, but not all stories are good for all audiences.
Right. And in fact, there could be.
The Handmaid's Tale is a classic and very important and significant story in our culture.
Which, by the way, is becoming a TV series.
And the point I'm trying to make is it's not accessible for children.
Yep.
It's really not a children's story. I would even say, and you know, you ask, well, why? Well, I'm sitting there going, well, it's complex. I mean, it's a very complex story that I'm not talking about. It's got something that shouldn't be seen by children. Mm-hmm. I'm saying children would watch it and go, I'm going to go to sleep now. I mean, because there's just nothing to understand.
But that doesn't really need a warning.
No, it doesn't. But it's not. But then you sit there and say, well, okay. So Deadpool, definitely not a child's story.
Yeah, well, it has stuff that most parents wouldn't want their kids seeing at the age they are.
You know, I'm trying to think of things that aren't offensive, but just complex. Like, for example, The West Wing. Mm-hmm. The West Wing TV series. Nothing wrong with it. It's not offensive, but it's all about the president. I mean, that's boring. To anybody but me, I find, and adults like me, it's an adult show. You're not even marketing it to children. It's not even, you don't want to market it to children. They go to sleep during it. It's just boring. Or NCIS or CSI.
So is your point that why make a movie that's clearly not marketed for kids or that kids would be interested in PG-13 and instead of staying true to the R rating?
Right. Okay. I mean, that's my point is that they're sitting there trying to get more money and I'm sitting there saying, you know what, this is maybe not a good place where the free market needs to be pushing.
Like Mountains of Madness.
Right. I mean, that's about Cthulhu. Yeah. And no matter which way you put it, the concept and the it's a higher concept than you really are going to deal with my 7-year-old. Mm-hmm. My 7-year-old is really into lightsabers and X-Wings. That's cool. He has a hard time processing Star Trek.
Yeah.
He doesn't. It's not that he hates it.
He just needs to get a little older.
He needs to process it a little bit better. It's about
the development of the brain. Because,
it is.
And I think the majority of us that are listening to this and that we know would agree there's some things that are just to our core we know shouldn't happen and that we would want to avoid showing in visual media to kids things that adults should do.
Sure.
And I'm kind of dancing around this, which if you know what I'm talking about, then you know what I'm talking about.
Because we are a PG-13 podcast.
Now, and we choose to be that because we have kids.
We choose to do that because we like to listen to our podcast in cars with our 7-year-olds in the backseat. Mm-hmm.
And we actually generally live our lives in the public as PG-13.
We do.
I don't feel the need to drop the F-bombs and curse in order to spice up my language, and I also have not developed that as a habit.
Well, and that's you and me as a personality.
Right. So, and the show is about us, so it's true to our nature to keep the show within that.
Yeah, but we're not doing it to censor.
No.
We're doing that because do want accessibility.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if we necessarily are trying to be accessible to the 7-year-olds out there, but we are trying to be accessible to the 12-year-olds.
For me, that's a happy byproduct. Because it's more of a, if I did curse, if it was part of my nature to curse a lot, then that would be part of the podcast for me, which would mean we might not be good podcast partners, or your job as editor would be much harder.
Right. So. I'd have to put in that 100 kilohertz tone all the time.
All the time.
And beep you out.
So, it is definitely about the censorship of the movie because you have people, the producers and the backers and the studio saying, no, you can't tell your story the way you want to. You have to keep it in this box. And this box means no female nudity.
Right.
Or no male nudity. Yeah.
Or just male nudity, but no female nudity. Wait a minute.
No, it's usually backwards. For the longest time, it was really rare to see male nudity
at all.
So it's... Violence to a certain level is acceptable, especially depending on... You can have thousands of people die as long as it's not gory for a PG-13. The remake of War of the Worlds with Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Lots of people dead. And even though it wasn't blood, they had a lot of red goo that could easily be considered blood, but because it wasn't blood, I think that's how they got away with PG-13. it's just one of those...
It seems like there was something... that I had read where it was acceptable because it was like green blood or blue blood, but it wasn't red
Halo?
Blood.
Yeah, it was the Halo video game.
Something. So I seem to remember something where I just sat there and said, "Wait a minute, you mean they're all exploding all over the place, but because the blood is blue, it's legal?"
Yep.
And I'm like, okay. And I think if nothing else, one of the things that offends me the most about censorship is the weird rules. You know, and it's because, like we talked about, I don't have any problems at all with my son seeing naked people.
As long as it's what they're doing.
I'm an artist, right? So I've got books and books and books of naked people They're all just in poses, and they're posing there so that you can study their anatomy. That's the whole point of an artist. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've got tons of these things. None of them are pornographic. All of them are just people standing there.
None of them are exploitative.
None of them are exploitative. There's nothing weird about them.
It's not turning people into objects it's more of this is just how it is.
They're objectified, but they're not objectified in the right way.
Right.
They're not sexually objectified.
Right.
They are just objectified because they're anatomy. We have to learn their anatomy. I also have tons of books of skeletons and muscles and weird things like that. And I don't have any problem. He sees that all the time. So a naked person doesn't bother me. If we had a shower scene and the character was naked, I wouldn't even think twice about that. Wouldn't even slow me down. But I do have a problem with people getting shot and bleeding out and dying and, you know, and freaking out. And
fighting.
Excessive beating on each other, pummeling, slicing each other with swords. Half the stuff that you and I watch is martial arts films. You know, I'd have a problem with some of those. Mm-hmm. And the martial arts films are totally, you know, okay in this culture. And that's where it gets weird.
Yeah.
And the other thing is like the weird rules like F-bombs. You can say one, but not two.
Then you exceed into the R-rated level.
And you were talking about this before. What was the show, the movie you were talking about?
The King's Speech.
The King's Speech. It has only one F-bomb because he has a stutter.
It
ends up with a bunch of
R-rated,
F-bombs.
So they had to do a version of it where he doesn't say it more than once in order to get the PG-13 rating. And they didn't edit it for the, of course, release in England. They made it an M8 or M12. They have a different rating.
Because, of course, the stuttered,
A12, that's what it is.
The stuttered F-bomb will corrupt children.
Well, for me, here's the weird thing about language. Because for me, it's one of those things like, well, because these are the rules that society has made, I'm going to play by them. Since I'm now a parent, I need to teach my kids not to curse, which isn't hard for them because they don't live in a house that has that. However, my neighbor across the street who likes to leave their window open, it's like every other sentence has to have an F-bomb in it. Not too long ago was the Super Bowl, and there was like a touchdown made, and he yelled out, "Now that's an effing touchdown." Was that word necessary to emphasize it? Is your vocabulary so limited that you couldn't say that was an exquisite touchdown? That was an awesome touchdown. That was an excellent touchdown.
Right.
That was technically amazing touchdown. It has to be F becomes the flavor word. And I hear this a lot in just public. People have adopted that as, here's my language.
Well, and I'm hearing that on podcasts too. I was thinking about that the other night. I was listening to Engage the Star Trek podcast. And
to be clear, it doesn't offend me personally. It's just,
no, I was listening to the podcast while cooking dinner and realizing, well, great. And I had to stop the podcast because they had a guest on.
Young ears.
Who wasn't. And
the guest wasn't young ears. I'm saying there was young ears in the house.
No, it's one of those things. It's like, well, I mean, and it's true. My son's, I don't know. Also in my family, the words weren't bad. It was the intent. That's what got you busted in my house. You could say flippin'. And if you were using it inappropriately, it'd still get you just as busted as using the F-bomb itself.
Which is a good way. If there's a disrespect behind it, then it shouldn't be necessarily the word. It's the intent.
And that's back to that's the way our culture seems to be going too, right?
But
in the same mention, the reverse of what you were just talking about the guy with in that instance, he wasn't being...
wasn't being disrespectful.
Disrespectful.
He was not very considerate of other people's... No. Codes of teaching.
No, and of course it didn't help that he's, you know, got young ears and he's got his window open and he's blasting that out there. And the only thing I'm concerned about isn't really the language because, you know, like we've got a 12-year-old or a 13-year-old in our house and a 7-year-old in our house. Mm-hmm. I'm not worried about the 13-year-old really. She's old enough now to know, she probably already uses bad language with her friends. So I'm not really terribly...
Which is that weird unwritten parent code.
Yeah.
Of don't let me catch you doing it.
Yeah, don't let me catch you saying bad words. But my 7-year-old will repeat it. And I don't want him repeating it, because really it's not repeating it in the household that's the problem. It's repeating it at school where I'm going to get the pink slip for it. You know,
And words have power. And we'll get back more to the power of censorship in words after this break. Thank you. Comics in Lakewood, and we are talking about MPAA ratings of and movies censorship. And censorship connected to that.
Yeah.
And we're talking about we were talking about before the break, the power of words. And this is part of the aspect of that I teach my kids of although a word, the whole sticks and stones break my bones, but words never hurt me is not true. There is emotional weight to words, and you need to know the definition of the words you're using and use it correctly. And I think this is where exposing children to language becomes the issue, especially the F-bomb, because its definition and its origin of where it comes from is not really appropriate in its method to be taught to kids.
Right.
So I think that's where it kind of ties into it.
Well, and we've got, you know, slang, derogatory slang words for different racial groups. We've got slang words for different genders. And those words do hurt.
Right. And they have weight with them, and they need to be respected and understood to be used correctly. And if the society says a 6-year-old should not run around saying this, then we kind of have to be observant of that and watch it. And although I come from the thing of if words shouldn't have the power they have in the way they do, but they do, so therefore we have to play by these rules and respect that. Now, getting to the F-bomb and the origin and language, this brings back to the nudity thing, and here's why I think the nudity thing exists for pushing things to R rating, but I disagree with it, and that is the whole societal concept that nudity equals sex.
Yeah.
Flat up, period. No question about it.
If you're naked, you're obviously going to have sex.
And here's the weird twisted thing with it.
Which means that my life is markedly more exciting than I thought it was.
Yeah, it just means you're wrong. Uh-huh. But female nudity in the visual format that runs the gamut of movies, TV shows, and stuff is usually looked at as exploitative, and it makes them weak and an object. Male nudity is for comedy purposes.
It's for comedy.
Or for power.
Yeah.
And so there's a root problem there.
We definitely have a problem with it. And that's another one of those things with, you know, as an artist, I'm sensitive to that. Mm-hmm. I talk about this a lot in art. Art has always had male and female nudity. I mean, that's part of art.
Yeah, every 101 art book you pick up will have the old black and white drawings of the Roman, Italian-style statue type things.
And I remember going to art school because of the nature of culture. We could never have nude models because there was no way to have nude models without somebody protesting and freaking out.
And, of course, every 80s show you ever watched that involved an art class, the joke was somebody getting up and stripping down, and they'd always have the canvas perfectly placed to cover up the nude parts.
Right, and it's because that's the nature of things. And it's because, and this is an actual real thing, it's hard to draw fabric. And so because the folding of fabric is a real, that's like, I actually was meeting with an artist a couple of days ago, and he has this beautiful study of, it's just the torso of a female, but the fabric, he got all of the folds of the fabric perfect. And we all just ogled it.
Could almost do an art class where you just set up the chair.
That's what people do.
And throw a carpet
exactly
over it.
Exactly what happens. So 101 is you want naked people because you've got to study the body. You have to study the muscle groups. You have to study the bones. And you have to study how everything moves before you start dealing with folds of fabric. Mm-hmm. And the folds of fabric mess up the way that the body looks. So it's actually a normal thing for an art class to have nudes up there, even though everybody sits there and giggles. And it's ridiculous.
And this brings an interesting point because my wife really likes going to museums when we travel as much as we can to other places. And a lot of artwork is nude people.
It's because it's the easiest.
And it's such a difference of – and even just if you go to the Denver Museum here or any of the museums, you're going to run into that. And because it's such a different aspect of culture, taking your kids there, it becomes one of those, well, now I'm going to show them this stuff, but they're in a whole new world because the world they live in with television, all this stuff gets censored and not shown to them.
Right. Well, it's because the visual mediums, like a photography medium, you don't have to worry about it. You put clothes on people because the people that you're photographing have clothes on them and you're expressing that. That doesn't mean that necessarily photography is that way, but photography and video has a lot more openness to that. I mean, your fields are open. When you're trying to draw a human being and you're trying to draw the folds in the human being's clothes, it's actually a pain in the butt.
Yep.
So
I can see that. Guy, by the way, is an artist, in case you did not know that.
But that's why a lot of the, you'll see the masters started with these studies of Schumann's, because you're studying the body and you get respect for little things like the little folds in the knees and the elbows, because that's a really difficult thing to draw.
Right.
And getting that musculature right and getting everything squared away.
So it's the nudity equals sex thing is the...
We've gone completely off.
Well, I'm like,
off.
You already talked about this.
I'm going over it again.
This also ties into the whole argument, I think, with the women shouldn't breastfeed in public because, well, oh, no, it's a boobie, and that equals sex. And it's like, what? No, she's feeding her kid.
Yeah.
You idiot.
It's
but
lunch.
And it relates to the movie, so therefore they put the... If you have a female nude, and this can be just the nipple. It doesn't have to be 100% nude. Just from the chest up is an R rating, flat out.
Flat out, right there. Just automatically get, no children can come in here without a parent to cover their eyes when the boobie is shown.
And it's just, it's perpetuating that. As long as movies have that rule, and as long as society's coming at it from an angle that nudity's bad, or it's nudity's private. Is one way to put it.
Yeah, it's not that it's, well, I don't know. I mean, because I have often felt that part of this is that somehow naked bodies are bad.
Mm-hmm.
I actually very strongly feel that way. I mean, really, honestly, I don't want to walk around my house naked if there's someone else there. It's not my immediate family. I mean, let's say something simple. I get out of the shower and my clothes are in the washer downstairs.
But that is because that's the society that we live in, and that's what they brought up.
Right.
And I was in Iceland, and they have communal showers at all the public pools because you're required to shower before you get in the pool. It's for hygiene
purposes.
Do
that here.
Yeah. But because it's all...
You have to do that in Japan, too.
And so there is not as big a concern of nudity because you actually see more strangers nude than you would here.
Yeah.
But I think that really... feeds into body shaming in a weird way.
It is. That's what I was going to head for.
Yeah.
We have body shame, and then we have, you know, all these perfect people, and they help shame our bodies too.
I think and part of it is you don't want to be nude in front of somebody else just because, you know, you're going to be judged.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that's put into the brain. For me, it's
and you
more,
don't want to be judged.
Yeah. For me, I like pockets. So that's...
Yeah. I can't be nude in the pocket either.
That's
weird.
Hot
Hard pockets. To get into the pocket.
Well, that was your problem as a kid and a teenager. And
well, that's why my mom, who was a kangaroo, we had issues there.
She made homemade marsupial.
Yes, she did.
That joke was better in my head when I was formulating it in the 0.23 seconds that it took for me to tell it. And then after I said it, I'm like, that's a joke that needed writing and not improvised.
Yeah.
Needed more work.
It escaped.
Yeah.
I mean, it needed to be more of an alphabet soup.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I hopped right on that one.
Ooh, yeah.
Should have left it down under. So
you probably said that just a little teaspoon.
I'm leaning over to see how much more we have to talk.
We've still got a couple of minutes, so let's wrap this up.
So censorship on the movies.
Censorship on movies. So we
oh, you know what? Here's one.
We're probably not going to agree. I mean, we might as well just say it now. We're probably not going to agree with censorship anywhere.
Well, I agree that if the nudity has stuff going on that kids shouldn't see, kids shouldn't
see. Like reproduction.
Right.
I'm okay with that.
Or for just fun. It doesn't have to be for reproduction. It can be just for
no, but all
for sports
involving
for exercise, for science.
For science. All of the actions involved with reproduction, I get that. That makes sense.
Now,
and that's probably a little more complex than I'd want my kid to see anyway.
And I wouldn't necessarily have to have those actions. It could be other actions. But
you're going to have to spell it out if you keep saying it. So you might want to stop while you're ahead.
But speaking of censorship, Eyes Wide Shut. The directed by, Stanley Kubrick. The version he had made after he was done with it and it was to be released, the producers in studio CGI'd characters over top of different things happening in order to drop its rating down. And I'm like, well, that definitely censored because they were done
with
it.
That's directly censoring it.
That's like you giving me your comic book and I say, okay, I'm going to go produce it, and then I change stuff in it and then release
change
it.
Change writing, change the story.
Yeah, your shower scene, now there's steam over the girl.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we'll get to that one when we get to the comics code.
We will cover comics for sure in another episode.
Yes, we will. And I've got a lot to say on that one.
So if you have questions,
I think that you seem to be a little bit more, well, it's okay than I am. But mm-hmm. I think that makes sense because I, like I said, I'm an artist, and I feel very strongly that all censorship is pretty much bad. I don't have any strong positive feelings about censorship. I feel like it's my job to keep my son away from the things I don't want him to see necessarily. And yeah, I mean, let's not put on Times Square, you know, on the big videos in Times Square, a whole bunch of people having mad passion.
Caligula.
Yeah, Caligula. Yeah. Let's not put that up there. I'm okay with that. But if I choose to imbibe on a movie, it should not be censored for me. I don't want to be censored. I'm a 40-year-old man. I can pick and choose. I choose not to watch movies that have jumpy scenes. I wish there was a rating. MPAA needs to have a J rating. And the J rating is jumpy.
Mm-hmm.
And then that means there's just jump scares.
It can be
it.
The one cat through five cats.
Right. It's just a different cat rating. You know, and it depends on how many cats there are. I don't go into anything above a cat two, I'm not going to see.
Well, would you give Aliens a cat two or a cat three? Because I think it'd be
Aliens
a cat
had a cat three, but yeah. I know all the scenes, so I can prep myself.
Right.
Alien would have been a cat one or a cat four. Because there's a lot of cats.
And that's, in fact, Aliens where we got the name for the cat one, because you have you think there's going to be a jump scare, and the cat jumps out and scares you. And then it's followed by an actual jump scare where the monster jumps out and scares you.
Which, so, you know, all of that stuff is just horrible.
I would like to say before we go, for other parents out there, IMDb, when you look up a film, which is an internet movie database. A lot of the movies have a section where parents have gone in and have the parents' guidance. And they list out a lot of parents go in there and say, and they say right at the top, you know, please don't put your personal opinion. Be factual about it. So you're saying there's like five scenes where someone's head gets cut off and blood sprays.
Right.
So that way, as a parent, you can say, oh, I'm fine with that, or I'm not fine with that, and make your own decision. And so it's a good guide to at least give you a place to start for looking at films.
Right.
And usually they have the spoilers where it says spoiler and you have to mouse over it to tell. So if you're planning on seeing it yourself and you don't want anything spoiled,
right,
that helps. But I've used that guide a lot of times before, and if you're a parent looking to see if a movie is okay for someone, that's a good place to start.
Well, and I think that, you know, today's culture, we can effectively crowdsource it.
Yeah, other parents.
Yeah, we can.
That's effectively what it's doing.
Sure.
But I wanted to throw that out there since we were talking on the subject.
Yeah, that works. Well, that's about all the time we've got for today. I've been Guy.
I've been Troy.
And this is Geek Tank. Talk to us on Twitter at @RMGeekTank or Facebook at Facebook.com/RockyMountainGeekTank. You can always email us at questions@RockyMountainGeekTank.com.
You can find us on iTunes and Google Play. Please give us stars. You can also find us on YouTube. Just look for Rocky Mountain Geek Tank on there and find our channel, subscribe to it, and like the videos that you like.
Geek Tank is a production of Foxblade Media and is protected under the Creative Commons 3.0 license. Your hosts today were Gaius Davis and C. Troy Floor. Kevin Weibler is our engineer. And our music was composed by David Coyle. If you like what you are hearing, consider becoming a patron at patreon.com/Foxblade. I'm Mike Davis, reminding you to brush wise daily. Good night.
Okay, so it's time for our AUA.
AUA, Ask Us Anything. Instead of the Ask Me Anything, which is the AMAs, which sounds like an award ceremony.
It does, doesn't it?
But, so since it's not a me, it's an us.
Yep, it becomes AUA.
As far as I know, we're the first people to do that.
Well, that's why I'm trying desperately to further the brand of AUA.
And make it sound like a 1930s car.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
That's Chaua. Okay.
So our question today comes from a random generator.
Yes, it does. And it is...
What's your favorite movie?
So, my favorite movie at this point, I mean, because obviously these things can get, you know, unhinged or dethroned or whatever you want to call it.
Sure.
But I think it's Apollo 13. And I think that that's probably right now my most top-of-the-line favorite movie.
I am not surprised.
Yeah.
Now, did it become your favorite movie the day you saw it, or did it develop over time?
No, I knew pretty much when I was sitting in the theater. I saw it five times in the theater.
How quickly did you see it the second time?
It was a week.
You waited a week?
Okay. Yeah, well, I had to go back to work. Otherwise, I probably would have seen it right away. But I mean, and I dragged my mom to it, and I mean, because I knew she had been there for it, because her car keys, she has a medallion on her car keys that is Apollo 13. And
oh, and you got it that first day there?
No, she's had it since that day.
Okay.
And in fact, I still have it.
Nice.
On I took it from her, and I'm showing him now.
You need to drop this in some jewelry cleaner.
Yes, but it's a medallion car. Or it's a medallion thing that's been on her key ring, all of the time that I've known her, and she got it in 1970. So
it almost looks like someone giving someone else a high five.
Yeah.
It's kind of grungy.
Well, yeah, it's praying. The whole world prayed is what it says.
Oh, it's two hands together. Prayed. Okay.
But I've carried it on my car ring now, my key ring, since she passed away. I've carried it on my key ring since then because it reminds me of her all the time. Because
that's cool, dude.
On her
it's really
car
cool.
Ring. But because of that, of course, I was like, Mom, you got to see this, man. And so I dragged her to it, and she was not excited about it in the beginning. She's like, I don't know if I want to see that. I mean, we lived through that,
I know
man.
How it turns out.
I know how it turns out. That then after the movie was over, she was like, that was really well done. So... Anyway, so, okay, what was your favorite movie?
Well, what's interesting is probably about around the same time as Apollo 13, I had a movie that was my favorite, and it was dethroned a few years back.
Okay.
And it's one of those that's tied. It's one of those things where it's like, I don't know if it's entirely dethroned yet.
It's Crimson Tide.
Get to my sub. That was like one of the worst impersonations ever.
Yeah.
But my originally and still movie that I love today is Blade Runner.
Yeah.
By Ridley Scott. And once I saw Cloud Atlas, I kind of feel like that's my favorite movie now, because it's one of those, it has so many things about it that I really like. It has a really interesting message, has really cool special effects, has a really interesting storytelling mechanic. And it's they use the same actor in different roles in it, which was really cool. But so it's one of those that, and I haven't read the book, but I have the book. And as I understand it, the book goes about it a totally different way. It starts at the beginning, which it spans time, like years and years and years and years and years.
Right.
And so they jump all around the place in the movie. And in the book, it starts at the beginning, goes to the middle, in the middle of the book, gets to the farthest point in time that it goes, and then it goes backwards.
Right.
And so where it starts and ends in the same time period.
So it's like Memento, except on steroids. The movie's on steroids.
But I don't have nearly... Actually, you know what? With Blade Runner, I guess I do have kind of a family connection the way that you have with your mom on that. Your mom.
My mom.
Is when I saw Blade Runner totally by accident. My brother had taken me to a movie theater, and they were supposed to be showing a Harrison Ford, Gene Hackman movie.
Right.
Called The Frisco Kid. And that's what it was billed as. And this, when we got there, and this was Blade Runner had just come out. And as a midnight showing of that, and they said, I think the movie broke was the reason why they couldn't show it.
Right.
And they said, well, we have this other movie we're going to show in its place. And they showed Blade Runner as an early release to the audience, since they figured everybody was a Harrison Ford fan.
It makes some sense, right.
And so it blew me away, because I knew nothing of the movie or that it was even coming out.
Right, you weren't prepped.
Wasn't prepped in the slightest. So
wow, that's
and,
cool.
Yeah, love that film.
Cool. Well, if you want to ask us any questions...
Don't. No, wait, that's our New Year's resolution. You're supposed to.
Right, you're supposed to.
Okay.
You can email us at questions@RockyMountainGeekTank.com.
Do it.